Hi, K-Watchers. It's Leanne.
Hi, everyone. It's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today, we have Mr. Plankton, episodes 5 and 6.
It's like Three's Company met on Gilligan's Island as our favorite love triangle ends up on a deserted island. Roast me up some octopus and stab me in the side. Let's get started.
Good morning, Juliet. How are you? There is a long silence, folks.
Well, I had a 4 a.m. wake up because my children. Also, we're in the midst of a crazy season. So it is nonstop.
Every month I'm always like, oh, this is the craziest month of the year. But December is really the craziest month of the year. Do you get any fun office holiday parties you get to go to this year?
No office parties for me.
And your husband's company doesn't do one?
They are on a strict budget. They had their company holiday party yesterday, and it seems that they have drastically reduced the budget. No entrees, just appetizers for everyone. Only. No alcoholic drinks.
Was there sitting, or was it all standing?
I think
standing?
It was all standing. And it was during the day.
Oh, that's the biggest indicator of how well your company's doing now.
Yeah. He's like, last year, at least it was in the afternoon and there was alcohol. This year it was lunchtime, no alcohol. So that's, you know, where you cut your budget. So
that's pretty Spartan. That's the most Spartan I've heard. My sister-in-law works for a big tech company and she works on the marketing side. And so she gets a lunch holiday party and she knows an engineer on the East Coast. He gets a full-blown nighttime holiday party with spouses.
Well, when partners. The engineers don't get their party is when you know the company is in real trouble. What about you? Have you gone to your company's holiday party?
We actually had a nighttime one, but it was just for leadership.
Oh, heartbreaking. Those little peons.
The peons got a gingerbread house decorating
party?
Contest and a lunch. So they did get a lunch, but yeah, the rest of us, we
way to make them feel like children.
I mean, really.
How was the nighttime party?
It was good. It was again, appetizers and cocktails. Yes. I came home and I was like, oh my God, we're so cheap.
I'm so hungry.
I'm starving. And also, like, you'd be very careful at a holiday party with, my company's not very big. I mean, I'm just like chatting up with my CEO all the time. You know,
you're not going to be taking shots.
And you are on an empty stomach. Even one drink could really get you in trouble.
Yeah, right.
It's such a different time than when we were coming up.
I know. Well, I'm sure that a gingerbread party got lit afterwards.
The young people went out. Well, I did get an invite from a friend. She used to be at one of the first like big tech companies that used to do these big parties. They would like rent out giant stadium. It was like they did a whole thing. We used to just get a limo. You know, we're in our 20s.
Right.
Just show up and just party all night. She now, 15 years later, she texted me, hey, my coworker has an extra ticket. Do you want to come to the Palace of Fine Arts? I was rethinking our old memories. I was like, that sounds really fun, but I think it's in our past now.
I know. There comes a point when you're like, you know what? That was for that era.
Yeah. And we lived it up.
Growth.
We are growing.
On the note of like HR violations during holiday parties, I was at another thing and some guy was saying he works at a big tech company. He's like, we have now been told there is a two drink maximum because of all of the HR violations. And he's on the legal side. So, you know, I think every company is trying not to lose money with these sexual harassment claims as well.
I would love to hear what these HR violations are.
Oh my gosh, I know. Well, I told this story many, many episodes ago when I was working at a law firm and we were at a retreat, unlimited alcohol all weekend and many nights at a hotel. And I was unfortunately an accomplice to a sexual harassment claim because my coworker was part of something that happened and I happened to be the only person witnessing the activity before the allegation happened.
Ooh.
So I was trying to tell her, let's leave, let's go. And she's like, no, I want to stay. And at that point, my radar went off. I was like, red flag, got to go. I'm like, well, I'm going. Mm-hmm. And I went somewhere else. And then something happened. And so then I was interrogated. And both of them had to be asked to leave after that. It was quite bad. So yeah, drink your alcohol at home and with your friends.
Not worth
it. Not with work people.
Mm-hmm. And on top of holiday parties, in the neighborhood, we just have a lot of extra friends that are like, let's do a white elephant and let's do Secret Santa.
Oh,
and
my.
We're doing Secret Santa with our kids, and people are getting, these little kids are getting the person that they need to buy a gift for, and they're having meltdowns. They don't want to, this isn't the person that they wanted.
Oh, no.
You know, it's just all
right.
Backfiring.
The concept at that age is kind of nonsensical. They're like, why would I buy a present for somebody that I don't like? There was one year we did a white elephant with our friends of things that you bring from your home.
Right.
And it was like kind of gag gift type. I just recently got rid of them. And one was a butter cutter.
Okay.
Which my husband kept being like, well, we could use it for like pancakes. And over the last like 10 years, we have never used it.
What so, makes a butter cutter different than a regular butter knife?
A device. It's like a contraption where you put the block of butter in and you press down and it,
oh, and it slices
it for you. So I suppose like it is kind of kitschy when you're doing pancakes. And
so
you're
like, give it like a tab of butter, like a perfect
tab. Right on top of your pancakes. But you just never use that thing. So I put it out on the street as like a free thing, and somebody took it, which I was very happy about. So my husband was at a white elephant at work, and he got a tortilla blanket.
I give those away. That's my favorite gift to give to children. Yes. From 8 to 10. And everybody's always like, that's my favorite gift.
Wait, what do you mean 8 to 10?
Like 8 to 10 years old.
Explain the logic to me, because when he said he got that, I was pissed. I was like, leave it. Give it away.
Well, kids
I do not
like
want
it.
That. Why? Because they're being wrapped up like a burrito?
Yeah, like they look like a burrito. I legit, if you look at my Amazon purchases, I have probably bought that 8 to 10 times. Like 8 to 10 of my children's friends have a tortilla blanket.
That is so funny. I was mad about it.
Gift, wrap it up and gift it to a kid.
Well, so then he said somebody stole it. And I was like, who? And why? I did go to a very unique white elephant party this weekend. And this woman in the neighborhood throws it every winter, and it's called the beauty party.
I've heard about this. You got the invite?
I got the invite. And it's very fun because it's a white elephant, but you actually get something that you want. So it's beauty themed. You're supposed to bring a beauty product that you've loved over the years. It's, you know, supposed to be about $50. It's not just white elephant. You don't just pick it and then, you know, exchange. What you do is you have to pitch your product.
Oh.
And this room is like mostly lawyers. And so it was very fun. And you have to bring your pitch. And then she does door prizes at the end of the night. Like best pitch, best wrapped, best team player. I don't know. Somebody who took a gift they didn't want. And there were so many fun things, especially sex related.
Oh, really?
I thought only one or two. I got this box. And I open it up and it's wrapped. There's three things wrapped individually and they're numbered. So you're supposed to open them one, you know, numerically. The first one is the Korean scrubbing glove.
Right. The really rough glove.
We've talked about this. Uh-huh. The really rough one that you get when you go to the Korean spa with a Korean soap. And I was like, this is what I use every day. But I was like,
this was used on me as a baby.
Thinking this costs 25 cents.
Right. You know?
Yeah, exactly. I've been tortured with this scrubber since I was a child. The next thing was some perfume. And then the third box was this oil from Foria. Have you heard of this? Like on podcasts? Because I listened to one podcast and they advertise Foria all the time. And I just, it's a sex oil. And I was always like, oh my gosh, who's buying this? But apparently a bunch of women do buy this. And the number of women who are raving about this product at this party, like had me convinced.
So it's a sex oil that you put on your bod.
Oh no, in your private area.
In your private area.
It's basically like lube, but I think it's better quality, better ingredients.
Right.
It's mostly natural stuff. And somebody even said they cried after they used it. Because the orgasm, are we allowed to say that, was so good. She's like, clearly I've been faking it all this time.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, I mean, I was a little, you know, I'm kind of a prude. So I was like a little embarrassed about it, but I was kind of excited. Like, okay, I got this thing that I never would have gotten myself.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
That's what you want out of a white elephant. And then it was stolen immediately.
Of course.
After that testimonial and that pitch, it was like stolen immediately. So
what did you end up with?
And I got a hydrating serum from a local esthetician, which
Sometimes.
It's lovely.
Yeah. Those are things that you'll never try. Yes. Right? It's not at Sephora. What did you bring?
I brought from Olive Young the Riedel Shot. Have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
What?
I'm not on Skin Talk like you. I used to be. My algorithm changed. I'm on Missing Persons Talk.
Now you're on Criminal. Now you're on Luigi Mangione Talk. We got to talk about that.
It's all Luigi all the time.
But there is this serum that has a cica plant that feels like little needles.
Oh, right. I've heard about this.
Yes. And so when you put it on, it's like you're microneedling.
Yes.
And your products are supposed to seep in better and deeper after you use it. And there's a 100, which you use every day, a 300 every 3 days, 700, 7 days, 1,000 every 10 days.
Oh, good God.
So like that's the most intense. Right. And I have used the 300 because my friend got it for me from Korea. And it feels pretty intense already.
I'm realizing I know this because I was on the Olive Young website when my sister-in-law was just there 2 weeks ago. And I was like, what can you buy me? I was trying to have her load up for me. And I saw this was a top seller. But she says there are rumors that the needles that are kind of going in your skin doesn't dissolve.
Yeah, I saw another woman on, like a dermatologist on TikTok who was saying that.
But that does not deter you.
But yeah.
You're just going to walk around with little needles in your face.
Little needles. I mean, if it's going to penetrate the serum even deeper, then I will do it.
My other girlfriend who goes to Korea a lot for work, I was asking her if she's tried the salmon semen DNA procedure because it looks so painful. She says she hasn't yet, but she did get Rejuvenex.
Yeah. So that, is some compound that is supposed to be really great for plumping up the skin.
She's not Korean, so she had to like hunt down a yakguk.
Yes.
Pharmacy. Well, you are in, it's like Paris, Seoul. It's like Paris has like the pharmacies all over.
Everywhere.
It's the same in Seoul. Like you just see yak, the sign yak everywhere. She went in and she got this and then they were like, you must be American. Only Americans buy this.
Oh, they said apparently. That even in Korea?
Yeah. To her at the pharmacy. So yeah, I guess only Americans on TikTok.
Well, that's the funny thing is they're saying that a lot of the products that they're pushing on TikTok is like, oh, this is so hot in Korea. A lot of Korean people and Korean Americans that live in Korea are like, no, that's not that popular here. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you guys are getting this. This woman straight up pulled out like a marketing spreadsheet and she's like, these are the numbers. I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Whether it's popular there or not.
Stop gatekeeping then.
The premise of the party is really great. I mean, I think everybody, if you have a group of friends, that is something you should do because it kind of ups the ante. I think the pitch part was really fun. I also won Rookie of the Year. So I got a door prize at the end. So that was really fun.
I don't appreciate that I've been in this neighborhood 10 years. You've been here for one and you got invited to the most talked about party of the season. It's like we're in Bridgerton. I did not get invited to the ball.
When she first mentioned it to me, I was like, yes, I got the invite. I was so excited. And then I was telling all of her friends who I know. I was like, I got the December 7th invite or whatever the day was. Like, I got the invite. And then even she was like, what's happening to 7-7? The most exclusive party in the neighborhood.
We also, you and I attended the least exclusive party in the neighborhood. Yeah. Literally, this invite has like 120 people on it. And this year,
I think there were more people invited. I think 120 were the number RSVP. Of people who were coming.
Yes. Yeah. No. This party is nuts every year. I only get invited to the mass, the raves. No exclusivity.
Well,
here.
How did it? I left early. It was overwhelming even for me that night. But how was it afterwards? I heard it got a little crazy.
As with every party, I stay way too long.
Shots.
Yes, I was doling out shots. And then the next morning, a lot of us were at a kid's birthday party, which was kids versus adult soccer.
Oh, yes.
Which was so fun. And I was just on the field, just detoxing it all out. And the other moms were sitting on the bleachers. They couldn't do it.
Oh, good. Good for you.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the holidays. And
as the quote that I just found was, Christmas is a magical time of year. I just watched all my money magically disappear.
Yes, correct.
That's been my season.
Yes.
How are you feeling about Luigi Mangione?
Oh, I had such mixed feelings.
But I cannot wait for the 8-part podcast series to come out next year and the CSI New York and the Criminal Minds that are going to be inspired by this.
he has turned into quite the folk hero. He is being lauded as a spokesman for the people,
right.
And all the stories about healthcare is just coming on. They're, all of them are just one worse than the other. But yes, I mean, still hot.
Still hot. Apparently, though, he could not have sex or be intimate because of his back issues.
I know. That would lead somebody to shoot someone.
It really would. For a lot. I mean, having any kind of chronic pain makes people crazy.
Yeah.
And then not being able to have sex makes people crazy. So, you know, he was caught at a McDonald's by an employee who snitched. A lot of people are upset by this employee.
They got 10 grand, though.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right.
So
he's like an old man.
Yeah.
The best thing that came out of it was Burger King tweeted,
"Oh no,
we don't snitch." I mean, these social media folks.
Usually Wendy's is the one that always has the retorts.
Is definitely, they are spicy on X.
That highlights the exact conflict here, which is we're kind of celebrating this vigilante behavior.
Right.
And, you know, this isn't Gotham City. You shouldn't be able to gun people down in the street. And really, like, is this going to change the healthcare system?
Not at all.
Probably not. So this young man's life is thrown away. That CEO's gone. You know, it's maybe not to anybody's benefit,
it
this
really,
entire
yeah.
thing.
Right.
It is, though, really lighting up the zeitgeist.
The fact that he is a good-looking, well-bred, educated man.
Mission-driven.
Yeah, mission-driven man is really exciting a lot of people.
Yeah.
But also, yeah, he supposedly stands for the people. And sadly, a person was murdered. And,
you know,
they're reporting that people felt a lot of glee towards his death, which is very, you know, it's terrible and unfortunate.
Yeah. Somebody who is filing a lot of healthcare insurance claims is Haejo. There has been a lot of hospital visits only in just like the first 6 episodes of this show so far. So let's get into it. We are on episode 5 of Mr. Plankton. We ended episode 4 with Haejo and Jamie in the mountains in this like hermit cabin with potential dad candidate number 2. And everyone seems very happy here. The dad seems to be really embracing Haejo.
He takes him to this like wet market,
yep,
where he knows a bunch of people, and then he's trying to treat him to some of the best stuff and feed him, get him to drink.
It is, though, clear that dad number 2 doesn't have any money.
Right.
And he's all kind of like show and talk, but he does seem to really care for Haejo, and Haejo seems to be opening up to this person. We also opened up episode 5 with some backstory on Jamie. Like her time in the orphanage. And she was just a child that no one picked her whole life.
Yeah, she was happy-go-lucky. She took care of everybody. And she was like so hopeful that every potential family would come and adopt her. And then they would choose the other child.
Yeah. It seemed like they always were choosing boys over her too.
Yes. By the way, I saw something that said that one of the reasons why birth rate is low and marriage rates are low in Korea is similar to what is happening in China. They didn't have the one child policy, but because there was so much favoritism towards boys, or like early in the 80s and 90s, a lot of women would have abortions if they were having girls, you know, and so now they're left with like nobody really to marry.
Right. And so now Korea is going outside its borders and bringing women in from
other places
to marry. Right. So yeah, dad number 2, he's kind of a drunk, but he seems to really care about Haejo. Jamie also is up in the middle of the night. She sees this empty house. She sees that the money is still there. So Haejo hasn't left her. And she actually feels relieved that he hasn't left. So she's having conflicting feelings.
And then she gets mad at herself for caring.
She puts on a headlamp and starts to walk down the mountain in the middle of
the night.
Where
was she going?
Yeah.
What was she doing?
What an idiot.
Sometimes this girl, she drives me crazy.
Worst idea ever. She like falls, gets all these cuts. So of course, this leads to our drama trope, which I did not expect in this specific series because they're so kind of breaking the boundaries. But of course, we do see she gets all these cuts, and in her sleep, Haejo comes back and puts ointment on her cuts. And puts a Band-Aid on it. It's the requisite ointment application scene.
Is that a trope?
I didn't. Literally, it's been in the last 4 dramas we've watched.
Really?
It was in Lovely Runner. It was in Queen of Tears. It was in Marry My Husband. There's always an ointment scene.
Yeah. Meanwhile, nobody has ever applied ointment on me while I've been sleeping. So, no.
And you've had many.
I've had, well, that's not true.
Scrape on
I
your
face.
I have
had ointment applied to me. That is not true because I have fallen many times in a drunken stupor. So,
but does your partner put it on with Q-tips or with his finger?
Oh, Q-tips. He's not touching my face with his finger.
Right. So there's definitely a differentiation between are you Q-tipping it or are you fingering?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Finger my ointment, baby. Give me that bacteria. So that's these guys. They're hanging out in the mountains. Elsewhere, we see who I think is the best couple on this show and who I'd argue as a couple has the most chemistry on this show is...
Let me guess. Jonah and our tiger. Oh-hun.
Pathetic fiance and Jonah. I just want to call him John Na.
Yeah, let's call him John.
I got an inkling of this vibe last week when Pathetic Fiance was massaging John Na's hand to upset tummy. And John Na abruptly got up and like walked away.
You think he's in love with him?
I was like, is he feeling feelings? Is this what we're seeing? The mute? Like he just walked away like a little stiff chub for the fiance. Two moments happen in these episodes where, again, the chemistry comes alive. The first one, Pathetic Fiancé, John Na are in Busan. They're looking for a hotel. Of course, Pathetic Fiancé picks the worst hotel ever in a seedy part of town.
A love motel where you can hear everyone getting it on next door.
Yes. These are these motels that they have in Korea where you rent it by the hour.
Yeah.
And it's just there for one purpose
only. Apparently they smell bad.
How could they not?
I heard there was this girl on TikTok who just booked one kind of last minute because she needed something. And she's like, it feels dirty. It smells bad. There's just like kind of weird film. And so she left. And you could arguably go anywhere in Korea. You could go to a computer gaming place or open all night. You can go to a gym, the saunas.
Plenty of people are sleeping in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, this is the one of last resort, right? And he's also so dumb. This is also showing how out of touch and sheltered he is.
Yes.
He didn't realize it. It's called the Rock Bottom Hotel. That was the translation.
Oh, that's so good.
They go in the room. They can hear the couple next door like mid-coitus. The translation said harder. I'm coming. I was like, in what drama would we hear those explicit words?
This drama really pushes the boundaries. They make so many sexual innuendos and like straight up sex jokes.
So they're standing in this room, these two men and they say there's one bed. It's a tiny little bed. And they're listening to people have sex. And Jonah moves into Pathetic Fiance. And I was like, I screamed out, oh my God, are they going to kiss? And I covered my mouth.
Did you really think they were going to kiss?
My husband looked over at me like, what kind of idiot did I marry? What kind of idiot screams that out?
Oh, my God.
Watching a Korean drama, like, clearly they're not going to kiss. But I felt the energy. I really thought he was going to kiss. He moved into him. And then he just smacks the wall to get them to shut up next door. And then again, Pathetic Fiance falls asleep against the toilet in the bathroom. John Na carries him to the bed and lays him down gently. And they're like staring at each other. That in another drama is the two protagonists, you know, accidentally falling on the bed and then staring at each other. That is that. That's the scene. And I really thought they were going to kiss again. So anyway, crackling sexual tension between those two.
My theory is that he might be his brother because the mom has a connection to him.
Right. And the mom is like just like a one of many wives in this family.
Right.
And she's just the only one who got an heir.
There was one scene where she was looking at the picture of her husband.
Yeah.
And she's like, if Oh-hung was like you, he would have moved on and found another woman in a second. Which made me think like, oh, he's probably gone out and
had multiple
disseminated his sperm elsewhere. But you're not wrong. There is something crackling in between them.
Right. You see it, right?
Yeah.
They're definitely setting them up.
They're setting it up so that we'd feel that.
Like that we want them to kiss. They're doing their thing in Busan. Then the gangsters are also still on the trail because the lackey is starting to put things together. He gets a call from Eun. He's looking for a person named Che Sun-hyuk,
which is Hejo. And he finally realizes, oh, well, first of all, this guy has a whole other life and he's a whole other person. But the person that he's run off with is not the woman from that wedding in episode one who is married, going to marry the gangster. It is actually Timmy. And so now his mission is to get the Gangpei gangster to reverse course. He's like, well, you don't have to go after him. He doesn't have your woman.
Right. He's the wrong guy. This gangster is very violent, really is torturing this poor lackey.
My God, he stuck a knife in his leg. And I was like, was that necessary?
I knew it was coming, though. I closed my eyes because I saw him peeling that apple or whatever it was. And I saw him getting so I was like, oh, a knife is going somewhere.
Yeah.
Lackey knows the address of this dad number two. And so they're all converging on this mountain. So pathetic fiance, John Na are coming on this mountain. And so is the gangster and his crew. Hejo gets word of this. So he and Jamie try to flee. And when in one of the more heartbreaking.
This was a sad scene. But we knew it was coming because when we first saw potential dad number two, we were like, something about him seems amiss.
Yeah.
And he seems a little menacing. And then he turned it around really quickly. And I was like, oh, that was just like terrible character development. But in actuality, he was plotting to take their money so he could gamble it away.
Yeah. When he like saw that the money was gone, I was shocked. Did you see it coming?
I was shocked too. Yeah. I mean, I had expected something, but I thought he was going to kill them.
Yeah,
you know, I thought he was going to like chop them up and like bury them in the woods. I didn't think it was going to be the money thing, which I think is even more heartbreaking because it was such a betrayal. And they show all these scenes where the potential dad number two was rubbing Hejo's back and saying like, oh, you've been through so much and I'm sorry. You're like my kid. You know, it must have been so hard growing up like that.
Right. So again, another abandonment by somebody he was starting to trust. So Jamie and Hejo end up fleeing. I mean, it's just comedy, like all these people on this mountaintop. Hejo figured out that the potential dad number two was going to be at like a container down by the shipping yards.
Yeah. And then he pummels the old man. And the old man says something to him like, you're just like a little kid. And something about that really triggers something in Hejo. And I think what we're seeing now is that both, well, we've known this, but it's becoming more and more clear that Hejo and Jamie are just so broken and have been abandoned all their lives, which is why they're clinging to each other.
Yep.
And then they run off to the pier.
Right. And he's like, just leave. This is boring. While she's played into a lot of his tricks, she can see right through him. She's like, no way. I don't want that. I'm not an idiot. You don't get to decide things for me. On the seawall, they're screaming at each other, and he goes and grabs her face, and he kisses her. It's not the kiss I wanted between Jonah and pathetic fiance, but still a great kiss.
It was a great kiss, except, you know, like when you're in the middle of an argument and someone's yelling at you, and then you just want them to shut up, that's a great way to get them to shut up. Just kiss them. My husband does that to me sometimes.
Does he really?
Yeah. I'll be like, I don't know about that. And then he'll just try to shut me up by kissing me.
Aw, that's sweet. You guys have your own little drama at home. Of course, pathetic husband is standing near and sees them kissing.
But do you really find him to be that pathetic after all of this?
I hate him.
You hate him?
I cannot. I just cannot with this guy. If I have to hear Jimmy Shee one more time, oh I'm going to take a paring knife and stab the TV.
Oh my God.
I was God. So angry against
him. Oh my goodness. I feel like he is pathetic, but not in the like angry way you're saying it. I'm like, you're pathetic because you should know you don't need to put up with this.
In the last moment of tenderness between John Na and pathetic fiance, we close the episode with John Na putting his hand over pathetic fiance's face.
So that he doesn't have to see the kiss.
Yes.
That was sweet.
He watches these two kiss. He goes running up to them. And instead of being hurt that his fiance is kissing another man, he punches Hejo and then, pathetic as ever, goes and hugs his Jamie Shi.
I think the problem also is that he sees Jamie as someone who can't stand up for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably saw that and thought, oh, he's forcing that kiss on her. Oh, she can't. You know, she's having a hard time saying no because this guy is so forceful. So I think at the core of it, also, Jamie feels like he doesn't even know me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what I want. He doesn't know who I am.
I don't blame him for thinking that, because in like the true drama style with these sudden kisses, he grabs her face and her arms are just limp by her sides, you know? Right. So of course, pathetic fiance is going to be like, ah, she's not into it. So even in the face of this betrayal, moments later, he still says, this was all worth it. You're my jewel, not my family jewels. Talking about his balls.
Yeah. And I looked up that word, the word that he used, and the translation was dick.
Oh,
so I guess... Because I had never heard that word. Again, this drama really pushes the boundaries. You would not have heard this in a Crash Landing on You or Queen of Tears.
No, it's crass in the way that we like it.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
That even the pathetic dummy is making crass jokes. So, you know, he's still chasing after her. He's still just blind to what's going on in real life. The three of them are now going on a boat together. Somehow, the three of them then end up stranded on a beach.
Okay.
A deserted island.
Was this the same island that they filmed Singles Inferno on?
That's exactly what I wrote.
Because also Hedge was like, it only takes 10 minutes to get around this island. And then he runs. He's like, yeah, it only takes 10 minutes. And I remember they were doing a race on Singles Inferno?
I know. I was like, where's the canned chicken? There's nothing on this island. It is insane that they are now on a deserted island.
Also, how did they use the bathroom on Singles Inferno? Was it just an outhouse?
They must have built plumbing. They had water. So they must have built something. Of course, you go straight to the bathroom. And there is a scene here in this later in this episode. Jamie gives Ahung some mussels to eat, but it makes his tummy feel bad. So he, in jealousy, grabs Hejo and brings him up to the top of a mountain. And then they like literally he pulls his pants down to have diarrhea.
Wow, what? I miss this entire scene.
What? I thought you would love that, because he literally squats and takes a shit and like is talking while he's like grunting and squirming. I thought you would love that scene.
Oh my god, what? Was I sleeping?
Well, you might remember it as the scene that Hejo has a seizure and he falls over.
Yes.
And then pathetic fiance has to grab his pants up. No wipe. Not a wipe. Did he wipe it in the grass like gladiator style? I don't know. But he pulls up his pants, and because he's a Eastern medicine, he's starting to use this needle to kind of revive him. Again, this needle who he just literally stuck in the gangster's face.
Right.
Like, not very sanitary. No. I hope he wiped that. So that's the scene is... So you remember the scene, you just don't remember the shitting because it doesn't register to you, but it definitely registered
to me. Wow, I'm baffled right now. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that at all.
It's just one of the many kind of nonsensical things that happen on this island.
That might be why, because there were so many nonsensical things. I was trying to watch it super fast, and I was like, oh, not important.
Yeah, I guess, you know, whenever you talk about a deserted island, the question always is, if you could bring one movie or one album with you onto a deserted island, what would you bring? So my question to you is, if you could bring one K-drama with you onto a deserted island, which one would it be?
Oh, All In. All In is from 2003, and it featured Lee Byung-hun and Song Hye-kyo, and she was a casino dealer, and he, don't remember all the details, but like he played poker or something. It's an oldie, but oh, it was such a good one.
I still pay for Viki if you want to see if it's on Viki.
Let me see. Cocoa, but it's free is what it says.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's on Prime Video?
I think Cocoa and Prime are together.
Wait, okay. I clearly don't remember the details because I'm looking at the premise that's written on Amazon and says, when an ex-convict and an ex-nun fall in love. What? I didn't know she was a nun.
So actually, you'd really be bringing it on the island so you could actually figure out what this drama really was.
And it was two really beautiful people. I used to love this guy and I love Song Hye-kyo, and that feeling of them being together made me feel like I was falling in love, you know? Mm-hmm. It was also a formative time for me. What about you?
I think in the deserted island theme, there's Descendants of the Sun. There's a lot of desert on that one. The more recent one is I just still love Lovely Runner.
Aww.
Still love it. Those would be my two. So there's a lot of back and forth on this island. There's something with a shoe. She had these shoes that she bought from the market in Busan. And they all call it like a bad shoe, but it's a superga.
Exactly. I was like, this is an expensive shoe, but I think the sole is really thin. And then Ahung takes off his like premium leather shoes. And he's like, you got to wear shoes like this. Yeah. But I was like, you're dissing some really nice shoes.
I know. Seriously.
But what is important on this island is that Jamie finally confesses to Oh Hung, like, I can't marry you. I'm in menopause. I can't have your children. I can't continue this 500 year lineage. And he's like, that's it? That's the reason? I don't care. That was supposed to be the reason that she was let go.
And that's also, right, showing how deeply he loves her.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
And I think it's an opportunity for her to really confront her feelings, because I think at the end of it, she never comes out to say like, oh, I don't really want to be with you. But she feels that he deserves better.
Mm-hmm. And then
somehow, the gangster, Kang Peh, shows up on this deserted island
by himself
with no boat to be seen.
Nothing.
This guy's like an Olympic, triathlete swimming in the ocean in the
with
current.
With his knife. With his kitchen knife.
So many holes in this story, but regardless,
this
we'll
one is
take
the
it.
Most insane.
Ridiculous. Also, how did they all end up on this island? You know, they say they were holding on to like some like floating piece of wood.
I don't know. They're like Rose and Jack off the Titanic. Yeah. I don't know how they all got here. I mean, this fool swam here. He has his knife still. They get in a fight. All three of them are fighting against the gangster. So they are, you know, getting united in this common enemy. He falls and cracks his head on a rock. But then we end the scene with Jimmy bleeding on the beach
with a knife in her abdomen.
Oof.
They go from one extreme to another. There is no chill in this drama.
At the end of this episode, I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on?
What is going on?
Because it's so all over the place, but it's so fun. Like, I was like, at the end of this, I was like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, this deserted island, but I want to see more.
Yeah, my husband kept being like, do you not enjoy it? And I was like, no, actually the drama is really fun. I just don't know what to say at this point.
It's so off the wall, but it's actually kind of refreshing. They really go for it in a lot of places here, and I appreciate that. And that was it. Any big takeaways from these two episodes?
It took a little bit of time, because prior to this, we were lost as to why they were so attracted to each other. And they brought us along that journey in these two episodes. It really drew me in and kind of gave me a lot of empathy and understanding for why they're both such like lost characters.
And making such bad decisions.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it makes you, like, I'm not somebody who likes to see a character leave their person. Even though Oh Hung's not the greatest, I didn't like the way that she did that. But it also makes me understand why she wants to be with Hye-jo so much.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really important, the balance, is because she's leaving a really perfect guy. And you really still need to root for Hye-jo.
Yes, right. Right, because otherwise then Jamie just becomes like a bad person.
Or like weak.
Yeah.
And we actually aren't rooting for them. But they do a really good job of like, you can root for a pathetic fiance and you can root for Hye-jo.
I also love that you just don't know where this is going. Most Korean dramas are so predictable. You're like, okay, well, they're going to fall in love eventually. You know, maybe they'll be torn apart for a little bit. Right. But really, I walked into this having no idea what is going to happen and was completely floored by everything that happened.
I know.
Even the gangster played a piece. Like, him coming onto the island, logically speaking, makes absolutely no sense. And it's a ridiculous part of the story. It's a complete red herring. But it was crazy. And he had a knife. And he stabbed her. What?
And he cracked his head on a rock. Yeah. He might be dead. Whiplashing. And it's so fun. Okay, that was episodes 5 and 6. We have episodes 7 and 8 of Mr. Plankton coming up. Thanks for watching and listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.